People say spirituality is not practical. How will it help? You ask somebody they should come to classes or attend lectures. They say, well, how will it help me? Will it increase my business, my net worth? Or will it help my child to find a better job or get married? Or we always think that spirituality is for old people. You know, after age 65, they should start learning. I mean, if somebody starts after age 65, there's nothing wrong with that. But the earlier you start, the better. I'd like to ask around the room, why do they think spirituality, is it practical or not practical? What is the benefit of learning this knowledge?
What's the difference between religion and spirituality?
I think that's a very good question. Religions are many. But spirituality is one. Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda said, religions are many, but spirituality is one. Religion is the practices. And each faith has different. Christians go to church and kneel down, they light a candle. Hindus go and, you know, do aarti. Muslims, again, you know, do the namaz and Allahu Akbar. Jewish. So religions are, and even among Hindus, there are different, you know, different practices. Some are more on bhakti, some are more on karma and all that. But the spirituality is the knowledge, and that is common in all. Whether you look at the Ten Commandments of, you know, Moses, or look at the Dharmapada of Buddhism, or look at the values in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So spirituality is only one. That is the essence or the basis of all the religions. All the religions are standing on the foundation of spirituality. So that's how I understand that. One other point, I think that spirituality helps us. Of course, it helps us to deal with the world. But another important benefit of spirituality is that it gives us freedom from this cycle of birth and death. You know, punarapi jananam. How many lifetimes are you going to go on and on? People say, oh, I don't mind being born again. Yeah, but again, you have to, you know, stay in your mother's womb 9 months and then go through diaper and toilet training and then learn ABCDs and then teacher slapping you or mother slapping you and you're not learning and father getting it, and then go through the, you know, learning and college and then get a job and then graduate and then marry and children and teenager. How many times I want to do that? It's enough. Once you get this knowledge, it motivates you to go beyond, because this, I mean, yeah, this world is okay, but there is something much better, and why should I not? You know, it's like I talked last week. How many times am I going to repeat high school? People say, oh, I love high school. So 12th grade, he repeats every year. And he's improving his SAT score. You know, first it was 1400, then 1600. You are still, or like, you know, we talk about a rat race. You know, in the rat race, whether you are a good rat or a bad rat or a successful rat or a failure rat, you are still a rat. You want to get out of the rat race. I don't want to be a rat anymore. I want to be a better. So being a human is better, but better than that is to go beyond and see what is this and achieve the purpose of my life. What is the purpose of human life? We have talked many times. Is realization, God realization, self-realization, and to go beyond this cycle of. And I think that is one of the very, very, all the other things, of course, you covered very well. But that was just one point I thought. So today we'll try to finish the 17th chapter. If not, you know, we'll do it next week. But we have talked so far about the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva being purity, rajas being activity, and tamas being laziness. And then we talked about Om Tat Sat. Om is the transcendental reality, Brahman. Tat is the Ishwara, the creator, and Sat is the existence. And all three are manifestations of that one Brahman. It's not that Om is superior to Tat or Sat. In fact, they are used interchangeably. Like here, they use Om as the one that we use before chanting the mantras, before doing any activities. Tat is that which shows us the totality and helps us to act unselfishly. And Sat is the existence also, as Krishna says, sad bhave sadhu bhave cha, shows us the divinity in all beings. And also doing all activities, sat is used. But if you read in the Upanishads, at different places, tat is used as the supreme reality, you know, tattvamasi in the Chandogya Upanishad. The teacher tells him, so that reality which is transcendental is you, because we are all that. And then in Sat Darshanam, Raman Maharishi talks about Sat Pratyaya Kimnu Vihaya Santam. So that Sat is actually all are the same. And last 2 weeks we had talked about Om in detail, Tat, that reality, and Sat, which is existence. Today, Krishna is continuing his talk on Sat. He feels that he needs one more verse to explain Sat, the third aspect of Om Tat Sat. So we'll do verse number 27. Yagne tapasi dane cha. Sthiti sadhiti chochyate. Karma chaiva tadarthiyam. Sadityeva bhidhiyate. So what is Sat? Yajna, Tapasa and Dana. We have talked about these are the three activities that should not be given up even by a sannyasi. By all of us, we must do three things. One is yajna. Yajna is not only spiritual rituals and prayers, but yajna is also community activity, community-based activity. So we must participate in activities that are beneficial to the community. And that must be done in a cooperative endeavor where not I alone, but we as a group can do something. So that yajna tapas is. Tapas we always understand as sitting in, you know, in the forest. No, tapas means living a life of self-control, moderation, and dana is charity, as we have talked many times. That must be done. But sthiti means steadfastness, and that is very important, because what happens is we start on a path, we do it for a while, and then, you know, something comes up, like, I must go every Sunday to the Gita class, or Swamiji comes, I must listen. After a while, something important came up, I'm busy, I can't do it, kids' activities or shopping or some, or I must get up in the morning and do yoga, do meditation, do some spiritual practices. And then slowly we get so busy, oh, I have, you know, marne ki bhi fursat nahi, I don't even have time to die, forget about spiritual. And what happens is that gets sacrificed first. When I'm busy, what do I first sacrifice? Spiritual practice. I won't give up talking to my friends. I won't give up internet. I won't give up going to parties. I won't give up, you know, shopping, all the work related. None of those we give up. But the first thing we give up is spiritual. In fact, there is a very beautiful saying my mother used to tell us, you know. Lady says, "Achha hua meri mala tooti, main to Ram bhajan se chuti." She says my mala, you know, this rosary, thank God it broke, because now I don't have to stay and chant the name of the Lord. So, you know, because if I don't have a mala, how am I going to chant? So that's why Krishna says sthiti, steadfastness in this sat, in these activities is sad cha uchyate. So what is sat? Is steadfastness in spiritual practices. And not only the spiritual practices of sacrifice, rituals, community activities, self-control and charity, but activities related to that. Karma cha aiva tadarthiyam sad iti eva abhidhiyate. That is called sat. Not only doing the activities, but supportive activities. Like, for example, I decide I want to do charity. That's good. But first you have to earn yourself. You have to make yourself capable of helping others, you know, either physically or if you are emotionally a wreck, you know, you're crying all the time, miserable, sad, and then somebody else is has a death in the family and you yourself a miserable character. You go and that person is crying. You start crying with them. You know, oh, yeah, I know you're so. And then you make that person more miserable. So I have to make myself strong. So that is called karma tadarthiyam. So I have to prepare myself to do these activities. Not only I should do these activities, but I should make myself physically and mentally capable. And that is called sat. Now, there are a few other points about Sat, which we shall cover today. In this verse, Krishna has given us the basis. As I said, steadfastness. And Sat, you can also see in Sat Purusha. When you see saints, when you see these wise people, when you see the read the life of saints or the read the life of great devotees of the Lord, how much they suffered, how much they underwent, how much, but their faith in the Lord was permanent, strong. So such people are compared to trees. I was reading somewhere and they say, well, why would you compare a saint to a tree? But think about it. What does a tree do? Tree just sits there quietly, asks for nothing. Once its seed is planted, it just keeps growing and growing, just takes water from the atmosphere, water and air. And what does it do? It takes all the carbon dioxide from the air and converts it into oxygen silently without asking for anything in return. Just quietly serves the world. And that is how these saints are. Just as the tree is constantly breathing oxygen, even in a polluted environment like you're driving through LA, and you see some trees covered with dirt and all, but they are still constantly serving the world. They said if the trees were not there, this world would end instantly because we would be overwhelmed with the carbon dioxide. So saints are like that. It may appear that they are not doing much, but just by their presence, they are constantly sending out waves of good energy. Of course, a lot of them are good teachers and, very spiritual and inspiring people. But even if there are some people are sitting in the Himalayas and meditating or sitting in a monastery, in a Buddhist monastery, never leave them and you say, oh, this person, what is she doing or he doing? They are blessing the world. So contact with Sat Purusha is very, very important. And that's the benefit of Satsang. Satsang means the company of good. So satsang is the company of good people. It could be a gathering like this where we are all gathered to learn the truth, or it could be company of good books, CDs, or listening to good talks on the internet. We have all these Mahatmas who come here practically every month. So sitting with them, learning from them, seeing how their life, how they live their life. And that's what people used to say, people who lived with Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda. They said every breath was a teaching. Everything that came out of his mouth, every letter that he has written thousands of letters. And everybody who wrote to him, he personally answered it. He did not assign the job to a secretary, in his own hand writing thousands of letters. And every letter people have collected and, published them. It's all teaching. So living with such people increases your faith. And that is very, very important. Because when we go, for example, to a temple, what do we see? The idol is there. Okay, Krishna is there. He looks very nice. He's very well decorated. Pujari has done a good job. Or we go to the temple and see who all has come. Who usually comes and who doesn't come. Or what is she wearing? These are the things in a temple, but you go there because the Lord is there. See God in every being, and that is very, very important. Seeing the Lord not only in the being but also in the idol, that also is very important, because that idol is not just made of stone or not, because the Lord himself has been invoked when pujas are done and when all the rituals are performed, mantras, we actually invoke the Lord's presence. So seeing God in that idol is very, very important. So that what it does is it strengthens your faith. And there is a story of Kanak Das, who Udipi, Udipi is the place where he was born and he lived there. And he was of a low caste. He was of a very low caste, and he was not allowed to enter the temple, because in those days the temple was only reserved for high caste. You had to be of a certain. And he couldn't enter the temple, and he was so sad and he was so crying. And always the Hindu temples, the deity faces east, because that is considered auspicious according to the Vastu. And so the deity was facing east and he was not allowed to come anywhere near. So he went to the back of the temple and there was a little window. And from there he used to just gaze at the Lord and cry and just, God, I can't see you. I can't see your face. They're not letting me enter. And it is said that idol actually changed direction. Instead of east, it faces west and faces actually to the back of the temple. So that is the power of these great saints, where even the Lord himself comes and serves them. And there are so many examples of God serving person who had devotion. Like, look at Arjuna. You know, Krishna became his driver, became his chauffeur, because he had faith in the Lord. And in the case of Shabri, you know, Ramchandra ji came and ate even the berries that she had actually bitten. So the devotion of these saints compels the Lord, Tukaram and, you know, Narsi Mehta. And the one where, you know, the Lord stood in one place on the stone, you know, where the Lord stood there because the devotee said, you have to stay here. So when we see the lives of such saints, then we realize that is what my life should be. That is how I should live. I should not live mechanically. I should not live routinely like I have been living all along. Because mechanically, after a while, things get, you know, if it's the same thing again and again happening, then your life is not any different. There's not any improvement. It's like, you know, every day you eat home-cooked food, and then after a while you say, aad bar chalenge. You know, now let's go out for dinner. Not that any of the food outside is better than the home, but it's just, you know, mechanically day after day. So that is how we are used to living our life. So we need to get out of the cycle of that, you know, that repeated existence. And how do I determine that my karmas are good? So they say that the reaction, what the karma, the reaction it leaves on your mind. That's why Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda said, sin is not in the action, it is in the reaction. What kind of reaction does an activity leave in my mind? As we heard today, if that activity makes me more calm, more peaceful, more happy, then that activity is a good activity, is a spiritual activity. But if that activity leaves a, you know, some fear or some uneasiness, because sooner or later, you know, when I do negative activities, it is going to affect my thinking, it is going to affect my reaction, it is going to affect. And what kind of reaction is that determines whether an activity is, I think somebody even said that it makes me react to the situation better. And I know that at the end of the act, and we ourselves can be the best judge, because it is not in the action, it is in the motive. What was I thinking when I did it? What was the purpose? What was the goal? So one has to always be very conscious of my motives. What is my motive? What is my purpose? And be very observant of my thoughts. Constantly keep an eye on my thoughts. What is my mind thinking? Why am I doing it? So when you take attention to the motive, when you pay attention, and also one other thing you can say, that will the Lord be happy? And who is the Lord? The Lord is within me. So if I am happy at the end of the day, I know this is something I did was good, was good for me and good for society. That's why they say, what is Shreyas and what is Prayas in Kathopanishad, Yamaraja teaches. Shreyas is what is beneficial for me and for society. And Prayas is the pleasure, what's giving me temporary pleasure, but it's not really any benefit to me, any benefit to society. So those kind of karmas that are done with that goal in mind, that motive in mind, is called Sat. And then the ones that are selfish, the ones that take me lower, those are the Asat. And we'll talk more about Asat in the next verse. In fact, I was talking about service and about greatness. There is a very beautiful poem by Kabir Das Ji. It says, Bada hua to kya hua, jaise ped khajur, panthi ko chaya nahi, phal lage ati dur. She says, person become very big, but they're only for themselves. They do not think that what I have is to serve society, because society has given me so much, but I have so much and I don't need to share with others. He says, it's like a ped khajur, you know, the date palm. You know, it's a big, it's a very tall tree, but it is of what kind of service? He says, panthi ko chaya nahi, doesn't give shade to anybody. And the fruit is so high, it's so hard to get it. He said, better be like a mango tree, you know, which is low, which gives so much shade and then gives plenty of fruit to everybody. So that is, so becoming great for yourself is not great. If I can become great to help others, that is true greatness. Who are the people we remember? There were so many emperors throughout history. But whom do we remember? Emperor Ashoka. Why? Because he devoted his life. Of course, he went through that traumatic experience. But then he devoted his life to spreading Buddhism throughout India, and not only India, but throughout the world. There are, you know, so many kings are born, so many princes. But whom do we remember? Siddharth. Why? Because he left his kingdom and became, if he had remained a king, he would have been another king who was born and died. But because he gave that up and became a great saint, so many, you know, devotees are there. But then the ones whom do we remember? The saints. You know, we remember Mirabai and we remember Saint Francis. So the point is that that is the goal of life, and that is called Sat, where I do activities steadfastly for my improvement and for the benefit of mankind. So that's what Krishna says, that is Sat. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.